You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Hmm, what's this button do? Whoa!
You are now entering the green world.
With the rise of fast fashion outlets like Shein and Temu, alongside the wider mainstream options available that contribute substantial amounts of clothing waste to landfill, experts are calling for an urgent response on a governance, business, and individual level. I spoke to Mindful Fashion Chief Executive Jacinta Fitzgerald about the problem of fast fashion and the industry response to sustainability, as well as the University of Auckland Marketing Professor Mike Lee about the importance of ethical consumption for individuals. First is my interview with Fitzgerald, where she begins by talking about the organisation Mindful Fashion.
Kia ora. So Mindful Fashion New Zealand is an industry organisation for New Zealand's fashion and textile sector, built on the foundations of developing a sustainable clothing and textile ecosystem in Aotearoa. So we have a mission. Our mission is to support the development of a thriving full-circle clothing and textile industry, one that is resilient and creates positive benefits for New Zealanders and for New Zealand, as well as for New Zealand businesses. So we really have this foundational sustainability kaupapa in place, and that really was formed at the very beginning of our organisation in 2019 when two well-known New Zealand designers, Kate Sylvester and Emily Miller-Sharma, the general manager of Ruby, got together and really wanted to find a way for businesses in New Zealand to work together pre-competitively to tackle sustainability challenges, both social and environmental challenges, but also the challenges that the local industry faces because of the huge impacts of the fast fashion influx coming in over the border. So really we were directly established to tackle some of those big macro challenges at a systems level.
Yeah, you're talking about challenges with fast fashion. What are some of your biggest concerns, I suppose, when it comes to individual decision making on clothing consumption in New Zealand, and maybe as well the concerns you have around how businesses are structured to produce quite large quantities of clothing and goods like that?
Sure, yeah. And let me give you a bit of background because I think it's really important to have the context. So what we do know is that over the last 20 to 25 years, clothing consumption has increased by over 60%. And at the same time, the average lifespan of our garments has dropped, and they're now kept for often only half as long, sometimes far less than that. And so we've had this like real increase in consumption and production, but this decrease in quality and lifespan. And what we know is that in New Zealand, about 74,000 tonnes of clothing is consumed every year, and about 52,000 tonnes is sent to landfill. We produced an installation last year to try and illustrate what that means, because of course that's actually just quite difficult to understand. And we created a giant pile of clothing waste on the floor at an event that we held. And that pile was taller than me, and it was maybe 5 metres wide by 3 or 4 metres tall. That is the amount that we send to landfill in New Zealand every 5 minutes. That's like an absolutely astronomical amount. And so once you start to realise some of these numbers, it becomes a little bit more tangible to people, just the impact of this unseen problem, I think. And a large part that's come about because of the increase in fast and ultra-fast cheap fashion coming into New Zealand, you know, over the border, often direct to the customer. And they're garments that are low cost, they're really trend-driven, they're often made from synthetic fabrics, and very often, you know, fall apart after one wear, are discarded after the first couple of wears. Quite often, and you see a lot of this on social media, you know, people are buying things, they decide they don't even like it, don't wear it at all, and discard it. So the lifespan of our products, and therefore our perception of value and quality and understanding of the value that is intrinsically within a garment that's been produced by somebody, by a textile product, gone through this long supply chain, you know, our understanding of the value of that process has completely been decimated, you know, as a global society, I think. So that's kind of giving you a bit of the context and illustrating that this problem, like, it's a global problem, but it's also a really local problem because we've got this huge shift towards synthetic fabrics. Something like 65% of the fabrics that are put on the market around the world are made from plastic or oil. They're really difficult to do anything with. They're really cheap to produce, but they're really hard to recycle or reuse. And so they're clogging up our landfills. They're polluting our environment. and the impact of this over our border and it's happening around the world is that it's actually also leading to a real pressure point on local business and local industry. And that's something that we care really deeply about at Mindful Fashion and are working very hard to try and find solutions to.
You've mentioned that clothing consumption and purchasing has certainly increased in the past 20 years or so, in recent years. I feel like I've also, in my own circles, observed this with buying things secondhand. I know that a lot of people do recognize that fast fashion is an issue and they try to go to markets and go to secondhand stores and donate their clothes to secondhand stores. Do you think that this has a positive impact on fast fashion consumerism and purchasing patterns?
I definitely agree that we have seen a huge increase in the number of secondhand stores at all levels of the market, which I think is really exciting because what that's doing is creating a market for products, like more than one market or more than one avenue for people to sell products. And so that sort of is making it a more viable business model and a more acceptable consumption process for New Zealanders. It is a really important aspect of the circular economy is keeping our clothing in use. And so that can be done through repair, that can be done through brands offering take backs and resale schemes or take back and, you know, if something's not able to be resold, recycled. I think these are really, really important initiatives that we need to see more of. And when you think about it from a business level, if a business actually stands behind its product and says that it will repair it or that it will take it back and then resell it, it gives you this real indication that the brand is taking responsibility for that product, that it really has got, that it is standing behind it, and it almost gives you that confidence as a consumer that you want to purchase from those brands that do stand behind their products, right? So it's actually a win for businesses to take part in that, and that's the sort of thing that we would like to see a lot more of, is businesses starting to introduce circular initiatives like that, but also for the wider industry ecosystem. It's a really good way for us to ensure that we're able to continue to maintain skills and industry in New Zealand by standing up some of these initiatives as well as supporting local manufacturing.
Yeah, there's a really important role for businesses to play to ensure that they're making their products and their business sustainable in a way. How can you encourage a business to favour climate conscious and sustainable decision making, I suppose, even where it may impact their profits or their business style or force them to restructure in a way?
We know that there's a lot of research. We've done research. New Zealand Trade and Enterprise has done research. There's a lot of research out there that is showing us that there's a growing cohort of Kiwis that really care about sustainability, but they're also really confused about it. And so what that says to me and what that says to businesses is that there's this real opportunity and imperative, I guess, for more education, for better communication, for more transparent sort of storytelling about the supply chain of a garment or a product and bringing that to life and sharing those sustainability challenges, because those are in their business challenges that businesses are all facing at every sort of level of decision making. You know, there's no silver bullet solution to producing a, you know, 100% sustainable garment. It is a process of doing the best thing in the best way that you can at that particular point in time with that material for that design. And so it's all about, I guess, care and responsible, considered decision making. And so those are the values that we convey to our members and to the wider industry that we are talking to around, you know, how to enable more sustainable processes within their business. It's that sort of considered decision making. It's a really difficult question to answer because there's like no one right way and no one right business model. Every business has got a different challenges due to their size, due to their supply chains, the materials that they choose, the type of product that they design. So yeah, it's a really challenging environment for businesses. And so I guess what I would say is we're seeing a lot of great examples from New Zealand businesses who are working in this way, you know, telling really, really great stories about the provenance of their materials and the, you know, the reasoning behind why they've designed something in a particular way, you know, whether it's to suit the Kiwi lifestyle or whether it's because they know that women's bodies, you know, need this particular sort of support. So it's really, you know, encouraging that we're seeing there's a lot of Kiwi brands that are operating in this like really responsible, considered way with their decisions around what they put on the market.
My final question, I suppose, is just, is there a role you'd like to see the government play in terms of creating maybe more regulation in this space or supporting the change?
Great question. I think those waste statistics I talked about earlier really highlight the challenge and also the potential opportunity, right? And I think there's a real opportunity for New Zealand to be leaders in an innovative circular economy if we have some sort of policy changes, some sort of national system-wide interventions that do start to tackle this problem. And there's a lot of people doing work in this space, but it would be great for the government to talk to the industry and work with the industry to find a solution to the, I guess, influx of cheap, low-quality, low-value product that's coming across our border and clogging up our landfills and really impacting our local industry. We would love to talk to the government about solving that problem.
Following this interview with Jacinta Fitzgerald, I also spoke to marketing professor Mike Lee about the research he has undertaken about consumerism. Based on your research around ethical consumption, what would you say are the main challenges with convincing consumers to switch from fast fashion to more sustainable alternatives?
I think the number one challenge is the cost for the majority of consumers, particularly those in New Zealand, because we are a low-wage economy. And with the cost of living crisis, it will be convincing them to pay more for more sustainable and or ethical options, which often take into account the externalities that the fast fashion producers sort of offload through cheaper labor or not taking into account the various environmental standards that they might need to keep up with when they produce their very cheap clothing.
Can you explain a bit about the concept of anti-consumption and how it seeks to respond to the modern world of wider consumer choices from your perspective?
Yeah, so anti-consumption is an area of research that looks at the reasons against consumption. And so the way this links with the fast fashion or the slow fashion movement is that often people that are attracted to slow fashion are those that are anti-fast fashion. So the reasons people look to purchase slightly more expensive slow fashion goods is because, yes, they last longer and they treat their employees better and, you know, they pollute less. But all of that is because they're essentially avoiding the mainstream of fast fashion, which is the majority of the marketplace out there. And so anti-consumers might dislike the way that the fast fashion industry pollutes the natural environment, the way it exploits workers in developing nations, and maybe even the way they're branded and marketed so that you know, the fast fashion companies try to convince consumers that essentially they're not as complete without the brands that they sell.
What are some of the changes that you've observed over the past 10 or so years in this area with relation to how consumers are choosing to purchase from fast fashion companies or from secondhand goods, or how businesses are choosing to change their processes to be more ethical? Is this something that you're witnessing?
Yeah, for sure. Over the last 10, 20 years, this definitely has been a more market movement away from fast fashion into more sustainable fashion. It's still not the mainstream. So the majority of people, particularly in New Zealand, will still be purchasing the majority of their clothes from fast fashion companies. But you do see a lot more small to medium enterprises that are trying to move away from the fast fashion mainstream market. They create their own vintage brands through secondhand, you know, upcycling of vintage secondhand products. They also source, you know, sustainable fair trade cotton and other materials that are B Corp certified. So the B Corp is one of many certification organizations that certify a product all the way from the sourcing through to the retailing. And it's a third-party certification, which kind of gives the consumers peace of mind that when they're paying extra money for this particular fashion brand, that they are indeed paying for a legitimate, more sustainable and or ethical product. So there's certainly much more of these options now that are available for people who do want to move away from the fast fashion economy.
What are some of the biggest concerns you have with clothing that comes from sites like Temu or Shein or other mainstream options, especially where the labor is outsourced to regions with exploitative and unsafe working conditions?
Yeah, that really is kind of the fully scaled up version of the fast fashion economy. And this is, I mentioned earlier about this idea that there are external analyzing the cost, in this case, the cost of ethical labor. So they're paying very cheap for, you know, almost slave-like conditions in order to produce products that are very cheap. That's why slow fashion or ethical fashion costs more, because you have to pay people a, you know, a living wage, however you might define that. And so the concern is that, well, it's a concern, but it's not something that is very easy to fix. Because the fact that these places are very popular, these platforms such as Temu and Shein, suggest that there is still a market out there for cheap, fast fashion. If everyone was more ethically and sustainable minded and could pay the extra it would cost to produce ethically and sustainably, then places like Temu and Shein wouldn't be as popular as they are. So the fact that they are means that we're still very much in this fast fashion mentality.
In light of the Rana Plaza garment factory disaster, you wrote in 2023 that there's no perfect solution to this issue, given the financial restraints on individuals, the bottom line per se for businesses, and the tricky considerations needed for government regulation. Has your view on how this issue could be addressed changed or evolved since this point?
I wish it had. Unfortunately, it hasn't. What I wrote in that book chapter is still unfortunately the same. And so exactly those things that you quoted me, the cost, the crisis for consumers, if anything, has gotten worse in the last few years with the global recession. So now people are really not able to pay the extra money it costs to sustainably and ethically produce fashion. So the very privileged few are, and they continue to support that market. But, just a quick look around at how popular sites like Temu and Shein are, and also the bricks and mortars fast fashion retailers are, will show you that cost is still very much top of mind for consumers. And then beyond that, not much has changed from a governance or political level. And what I was mentioning there is that it's very difficult to sort of enforce ethical and sustainable production processes when these companies are sort of, they don't belong to any single country, and they can move their manufacturing around to places that are willing to let them exploit their local labor or exploit their environmental resources. So that really hasn't changed either in the last 2 to 3 years. And I forget the third point, but I'm pretty sure that hasn't changed much either.
In the coming years, then, what kind of action would you like to see in this industry? Who do you think should be taking responsibility for addressing how much waste is being produced from this industry, and how much fast fashion and the exploitation of labor and all these kinds of things come together to create such a crisis in this industry?
Yeah, that's the billion-dollar question, because it's not like the fast fashion and indeed environmental pollution isn't that high up on the food chain in terms of the United Nations concern. So yes, the United Nations do have sustainable development goals, which they, put a lot of thought into, but there is no enforcement ability by the UN, apart from sort of a stern word and scolding of countries that continue to shirk their environmental and ethical responsibilities. But there's no bite behind their governance. And we can't rely on just consumers, because obviously they will need to, spend within their means. And a lot of people can't afford to pay the amount of money that it actually takes to buy sustainable and ethically produced goods. And then finally, individual governments can try to enforce minimum standards for their businesses before they allow them to import certain goods, and or to ban them doing business with perhaps other countries and or companies that are blacklisted. But that's very difficult as well, because then companies will just move to other countries that have more, neoliberal sort of laws that allow them to exploit nature and exploit labor. So because of this global economy and the fact that everything is hypermobile, it's very difficult to enforce this one rule across the entire planet that, thou shalt not make cheap, unethical, and environmentally damaging goods. So I don't know who can do it. I don't think it's possible in the current way that our society and civilization is structured, which is obviously more sort of pro-capitalism and free markets.
My final question, I suppose, just to maybe reinvigorate some hope in the listeners, is there any kind of like individual change that people can take in their own lives to become a little bit more eco-conscious in their choices? Or is there anything that people can still do to make a small difference?
No, absolutely. And even though, we sort of can't put all the responsibility on individual citizen consumers, there is the choice that people can make in their own lives to pick to support more sustainable brands that are certified. So these are, shopping from brands that are B Corp certified, or at least have some other stringent third-party sort of certification that proves that the extra money that you will be paying does go to, a good cause. And then there is also kind of a resurgence you see in vintage, thrifting or vintage shopping or upcycled secondhand goods. And so that's kind of also a really good way for people that don't have much disposable income to be able to support a more environmentally friendly approach to their fashion, because every garment that they buy that is secondhand is, you know, one step removed from the mass production process that produces a new fast fashion product. So that's kind of something that I have noticed over the last few years since the recession and the cost of living crisis, is that there does seem to be more of a sort of a normative acceptance that particularly young people can go thrifting and buy vintage goods, and it's actually quite a cool part of their identity rather than maybe 10, 15 years ago when it was looked down upon as doing that because you can't afford the new stuff. So that's kind of hopeful, I suppose, to end on a good note.
That was the University of Auckland marketing professor Mike Lee and Mindful Fashion NZ chief executive Jacinta Fitzgerald talking about consumerism and fast fashion in New Zealand.
That was The Green World.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.